You're listening to The Andy Peter Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. GMT and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Horizon Talk Radio. Horizon Talk Radio. Talk radio that deal with the real issues.
Yeah, hello again, it's Andy. It's Horizon, Freedom, Liberty, whatever you want to call it. It's a chat show to put you in control. Give me your views, eh? Right, tonight we've got Tim again, Timothy Spearman, author from Shakespearespear.com, and the loads of other places. Some of his educational research on academia, especially the one about the who's afraid of the big bad wolf, and other things, of course, is worth researching. So Google author Timothy Spearman, and if you can, just drop by Shakespearespear.com. Tim, hello again, and it's always good to be here. We're probably two peas in the pod. I don't know if I'm the mushy one and you're the garden pea, but we're certainly here, eh? Again?
Yeah, two peas in a podcast. I thought that was
the truth, please, because I think that's very important to, you know, always tell the truth. And if you can't, then obviously you shouldn't be around. But also, if it's going to kill you, you should always tell the truth. So... We're still in the middle of this coronavirus episode. We're still being bullied through history. You know, people are telling us what to do based on history when, you know, they're actually changing the history. So what have you got for us today, Tim?
Well, there's lots of interesting stuff. I mean, I'll start off with something a little lighter. So we have been tuning all around the world. Got this new meme that's being bandied about, which is the new norm, and we have to get used to the new, call it, and well, I mean, all of them around the world, from New Zealand to Canada, to talking about the new, clearly coordinated, so all of our politicians, all of our leaders have received this guideline protocol, and they're all meant to read from a text, and they're all meant to talk about this new normal, and this guideline, for it to be such a common catchphrase around the world, indicate they're all in lockstep following the same mandates. So, you know, this is not good. And Dave says he can barely hear me, but maybe Andy, you can pump up the volume somehow. But anyway, this Orwellian newspeak meme is devised to throw people into a state of despair so that they will line right up for a weaponized vaccine in the false hope that they will be delivered from the new normal back to the old normal. There is nothing normal, and never has been, thanks to these genocidal eugenicists, useless leaders that have this finger of, accusation pointed at us, but they have three fingers pointing back at themselves. So all I can say is, do not participate, live in total defiance. If you have to get your temperature check to visit a restaurant, boycott the restaurant. If your basic civil liberties are being violated by having a meal out, then stay home. Don't give in to this. You know, it's not like you need the meal. You can eat at home and save money. And they will change the law pretty quickly when the restaurant owners start demonstrating. Notice the words that they, you know, have in our language, right? As if you're a demon for straighting. It's not demonstrating. It's demonstrating. We have it enshrined in our Constitution, part of our civil liberties. You can, you know, have protests. You can have demonstrations. You can peacefully air your views in public. But yet, with this pandemic emergency, safety and the social distancing mandate that they've enforced, they make you a criminal simply for holding a protest or a demonstration at your local legislature building because you're not observing the proper social distancing. And how dare you protest against this lockdown? You're doing something very irresponsible by recommending that people live in violation of the lockdown protocols, because then you're putting everyone in jeopardy, and this is not good, right? So this is how they do this, and it's been well thought out, I have to say. They've done it very well, but it's clear that it's all about control, and it's clear about that it's taking all of our civil liberties away under the pretext of some kind of international disease emergency. And frankly, it doesn't matter whether you observe social distancing or not, because they're aerosol spraying this into the atmosphere. So you're breathing coronavirus in whether you like it or not, because they've aerosol sprayed you with chemtrails. And I read it on Yahoo News, which is interesting, that they've detected the particulate of coronavirus in the atmosphere, which means that it got there through aerosol spraying. And there's documents about how they eat clouds and have it come down in the rain. And it's actually in the document called The Project for a New American Century, where there's actually a paragraph about how they will seed clouds with these pandemic agents and have it rain down from the clouds on the unsuspecting population. So there you go.
Well, the new normal. I was looking at dictionaries, as I do. apparently it's a term in business and economics that refers to financial conditions following the financial crisis of 2007 and 2008. And then obviously they do refer as a new normal after this pandemic. But there isn't nothing normal about this pandemic, because the bit I don't get, there's 600 or 700 people dying every day at the moment in the UK suspected of, you know, this COVID-19. And to me, the maths don't really add up, because we went into lockdown on the 23rd of March. And if you add up all the 700 since then, because that's the average, you know, we would be more, I think, I mean, unless my maths isn't right, there's like 40 days times 700. I'm pretty certain that's more than the 20-odd thousand we've got now. But anyway, that was just something in my head, because to me, 700 is nearly 1,000. And 40 days, if we had 1,000 a day, it would only be, 20-odd days rather than the 40. I mean, it may add up, but it just seems scarier at the numbers of people who are dying. But at the same time, why haven't other countries had the death rate like ours in the US and, Italy and Spain? It doesn't make a lot of sense, apart from, I don't vote for anybody, and I don't make judgment on anyone, unless obviously they're proven bad. I mean, my hat does go out. I'm not sure about your opinion about Trump. He knows what's going on with China and Wuhan. You know, he's said it out loud, loads of times. And so the New York, I don't know if he's the mayor, Andrew, what's his name? I don't know if he's New York mayor, but he's the administrator anyway for New York. He's not stupid either. They're both guys are great gentlemen, I think. Take my hat off to them. I'm not sure what Canada's doing about this, but, at the end of the day, the people are not daft. Yeah, and I think what would screw the countries, I would play their own game. If I was an activist and people were here now on this show listening to me, I'd say to everybody in the world, look, play their own game. They want you to stay at home. They don't want you to spend money. Do it for a year, 6 months to a year, and then let's see them begging you to spend. I think that's what's needed.
Well, anyway, introduce a couple of things here. I don't know if you've heard of the Good Club, but people like George Soros, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey, the Rockefellers, the Ted Turner Foundation, and Bill and Melinda Gates are all part of the Good Club. Now, if that's like a good collection of people, then I don't know. It's a little dubious to make the claim that this is a club of good folks, but there you go. That's what they're claiming. Anyway, on January 17th, 2017, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Bill Gates introduced a new working group called the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. You can call it CP, if you like. It's a collaboration of the Gates Foundation and the governments of Norway, India, Japan, and Germany, and a couple of big pharmaceutical giants, Novio and Moderna, as well as DARPA, which is an extension of the Department of Defense that does some very maniacal type of research into things like crowd control technology, that nature. The U.S. Army's Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, which is actually based at the Bioweapons Laboratory facility known as Fort Detrick in Maryland. CP began working on the next pandemic in 2017. Also at Davos, Gates began working on a Netflix video called Pandemic. And the plot of the movie is about a coronavirus that originates in a market in China and ends up killing billions. Why? So, on October 18, 2019, there was a pandemic exercise called Event 201, which was held at Johns Hopkins University, conducted by these folks, Bill and Melinda Gates and their foundation, World Economic Forum, and Michael Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University. Then it was a simulation, and in this simulation, it was established that the next pandemic would have the same cure rate as the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, 18-month period. So I don't know whether they plan to have this lockdown last for that long, but let's just say that the overall period in which their planned pandemic threat is to last is a projected period of about 18 months. Dr. George Foucault of China was also on hand to participate in the simulation. On the same day, the military games were being held in Wuhan, China, with about 10,000 athletes gathered from 110 countries around the world, the U.S. delegation including about 300 people. And 2 months later, China reports the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan, China. Then in January 2024, the World Economic Forum was held again in Davos, Switzerland, and Bill Gates of CP announced that coronavirus vaccine program with partnerships including Anovio and Moderna, once again, these names keep cropping up, and the United States Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. And wouldn't you just know that Thomas Fossey was on hand and was participating as a medical expert. Fossey wrote in March in the New England Journal of Medicine that the coronavirus was no threat since it was nothing worse than the seasonal flu, but when he went in front of the cameras, he said that it was 10 times worse than the seasonal flu and the ability of killing as many as 2 million Americans if there was no action taken, and probably as much as 200,000 if prompt action were taken. He said there was no vaccine and it would take 12 to 15 months to come up with one that was ready for trials. So where did he get his numbers? Well, it turns out he got them from the University of Washington, specifically the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation, which is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know, it's almost like, you know, the logical fallacy of circular reasoning. I mean, everything is just circular reasoning, and everything comes around to the same institutions in a big feedback loop of circle, inside circle, inside circle. It's crazy, Andy. They're all connected. And it's obviously agenda-driven, the whole thing. And the same players keep coming up time and time again. And all the research you do, you keep coming back to the same view. And so I say that we just have to go after the same few, because this thing, this worldwide conspiracy, is being led by a handful of people. We have them. We've identified them. And now we just have to go after them.
Just to sort of compliment you on this, during 2016... the UK government decides to do a drill on what to do, you know, obviously in a pandemic. You know, they need to stockpile PPE. They need to have some kind of medicine ready, blah, blah, blah. You know, basically, I agree in a way that, you know, governments have to plan for this. Same as they do, like, an airline disaster that hits a motorway. They're going to have to do role play to make sure that people in these real circumstances, like the airplane crash or the train crash, you know, they're ready to help them by stockpiling stuff and having the right responders, the emergency services there within a given time. But, you know, it's suspicious when they're doing this pandemic in 2016, exactly the same time as this Netflix video came out, you know, film. And recently Labour in the UK has asked the government, can they print the you know, the minutes of this exercise, because, you know, even the politicians over here are suspicious of the drill.
Perhaps mission of inquiry into the weaponization of the bionosphere that has been convened, and there's some interesting findings that have come out so far in their deliberations. The basic synopsis of what's happening: it's been determined that it's a lab-made bioweapon. You even had a statement by the discoverer of HIV, who's a Nobel laureate recipient, and he also claimed that this virus is definitely a lab-born virus, and that it's got a couple of HIV spikes on it that could not occur naturally. There's definite evidence that there's recombinant genetic manipulation going on. Recombinant technology is where you take the DNA and you alter it with the introduction of DNA component from another agent, and you end up splicing the two genetic materials together, and you create something that is very virulent. And often what they'll do is they'll take a something that's readily transmissible, like a cold virus, and then they'll combine it with something that is extremely virulent, though not so contagious. So when you splice the two together, you end up with an extremely virulent strain that has higher people-to-people transmission capability. And so that's the kind of thing that they're experimenting with. And so it started in the Maryland lab, which would be Fort Detrick, and then it got shipped off to Wuhan with about a $3.7 million price tag associated with it. So the media keeps hyping on the dangers of the COVID-19 every day to keep us in a constant state of fright, and that apparently has devastating effects on your immune system right there, because you're in flight or fight mode, and it agitates your whole system, and it has an adverse effect on your immune resistance, which is something that I didn't know, and that's quite interesting. Okay, so the participants, Judy Mike Rashid Tar, believe that this has been ramped up through a series of injections that people have been subjected to. So when you went for the H1N1 vaccine, when you went for the swine flu vaccine, when you went for the bird flu vaccines, you were being seeded with something. And all the seasonal flu jabs as well. So this stuff is lying in wait for the, what they call, cytokine storm. So what happens is these viruses embed themselves into your white cells, and they end up creating a situation in which your own immune system will turn on itself. That's what these retroviruses do. So you end up in a cytokine storm where the actual effect is that your immune system will start going to war upon itself. The white cells will start attacking each other because basically there's this invasive virus that has embedded itself into a lot of the white cells. So the antibodies themselves, let's just say, they end up, half of them becoming antigen as far as the immune system sees it. And so you've got this battle taking place within your own immune system in which the white cells are turning on each other. And it's kind of analogous to what they've done with human society, right? They have those that are ostensibly infected and those that are healthy, and the healthy people will turn on the people that are, you know, seen as being infected or being carriers. And of course, a lot of it's just propaganda. It's a little bit like what happened in Korea during the Korean War, where a lot of people are rumored to be spies, a lot of people are rumored to be North Korean communist agents, and yet they're probably perfectly innocent, but just by making a rumor, you end up having the whole society divided, and you know, it's almost like it's an analog for what's happening in the body politic, what they have done to the body itself, you know, because you've got the body's defenses turning upon each other, and the antigen, you would see the collapse of the distinction between the two, because the antigen end up infesting themselves into the antibodies, and so the antibodies end up turning upon each other, right? And that's kind of what's happened to our society, right? Because no one can trust anyone anymore. You've had the CIA infiltrating the body politic with the Operation Mockingbird. They've got their agents in place all over the place. Disinformation campaigns are launched all the time. You have people believing the lie, and the people that are the facilitators of the truth are basically called conspiracy theorists and are completely discredited. People are told that they have to get their information from official sources, that they can't trust anything that they read on the internet. And yet, time and time again, what have we seen but fake news being orchestrated by the very agencies that we're told are reliable, that we should turn to, that we should trust. And then you have the spokesperson for the FBI, the various agencies when it comes to crime activity, and we think we're told that we can trust them, but we can't. And it's these official talking heads, people that we told trust, and that we can rely on that have proven time and time again to be the disinformers, the ones that are misinforming the public completely, misguiding them. And it's just very upsetting to see how this society has been duped by a series of lies in this pandemic orchestration, or this plandemic, as many people have been calling it. It's quite a good choice of word. It's all over the place, Andy. It's really disturbing.
Yeah, plandemic.
Are you there, Andy? Hello. Hello, Andy. Can you hear me?
Oh, sorry, yeah. I put it on mute. Yeah, they would just think we're conspiracy theorists. And do you know what? What makes it really not so is that we, we do the dots. We close the dots up. We join them. We make sure that what we're researching or our opinion, however small it may be, we're actually, we're coming up with some facts. Okay, we're never going to be big enough to, beat people like the Gates Foundation or anybody linked to them. But we can certainly, try and wake up a few people in the meantime. I've just asked all the friends on the email list if they want to join you on the show, they can just dial in. So I hope you like everybody on that list today.
Well, I mean, I'm always happy to hear from people. So, come one, come all, come everyone, anytime. It's always nice. We've had a few shows where we've interacted with the occasional person that's called in.
No, it was just regarding Trudeau's. You had an email today about Trudeau, Canadian Prime Minister, I believe. I've just replied all and said, sorry about Tim's volume, and we'll sort it. But if you want to call in, just call in, and we'll take your opinion. And if there's anybody else out there, they can call 516-387-1807. That's 516-387-1807. It was definitely, well, half of me believes it wasn't planned and half of me believes it was. I'm at that problem because there is a virus. It's killing people. So that's my 50% of belief. The other 50% is, could it have been planted, because of all the pre-planning? I mean, like we know with 911 and Sandy Hook and all the other stuff that's been out there, without a shadow of a doubt that was planned. I don't even need to be even 2% doubtful on that. But on this, I think I'm a bit confused because, there are real people dying, but at the same time, there'll be a lot more dying if you have that vaccine. And they're not going to tell you what's in the vaccines anyway. But we know they're not very nice. And Sally O'Cordy from New York and Christina England from England. Yeah, Christina England from England, in Sussex. They're anti-vax protesters and campaigners, and they've lost people to this vaccine. We had Andrew Wakefield on the show 2 years ago, and God, the switchboard was busy. It was a great, great show with him. And he brought that video out called Vaxxed. I totally believe in people like him because he was a real doctor doing real research. He was struck off, and then obviously he was apologized to. It was too late then because he'd got the bug, which is good for being an anti-vax protester himself.
Well, Andy, I am glad that you have this judicious mind that's willing to listen to both sides or all sides and hear the different perspectives, and you're not, biased, and you don't come down on one side or the other with too snap a judgment. You're very careful about the views that you espouse, and that's a good thing. But, like, look at this. This is right from the Project for a New American Century, which is a book that Paul Wolfowitz, who was with the Bush administration, was involved with. And it was written about a year before the September 11th attacks, and the opening paragraph to the Project for a New American Century was, America needed a catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor in order to launch the Project for a New American Century. Well, that catalyzing event turned out to be the September 11th attacks, and they had obviously foreseen that event because they had planned it. Well, similarly, they've also planned this, and it's in the manual. It's in the Project for a New American Century. It says, this is a quote from the book. I used to work at Lawrence Livermore Lab, where we all participated in a meeting where we sat around the room thinking of ways to manipulate geophysical systems to use it as a weapon. We would imagine putting pathogens in a cloud. Let the cloud go over somewhere and rain down on your enemy, do chemical or germ warfare. Okay, so now Yahoo News has just recently published an article that claims that they have detected the virus in the air. Now, this is exactly what the article says. Now that the coronavirus has infected more than 3 million people worldwide, the question of how SARS-CoV-2 spreads is becoming increasingly relevant. Experts remain confident, as of now, that the virus has passed from individuals through respiratory droplets. But a new study out of Italy, first covered by The Guardian, suggests more research on whether it can be spread through the air. Published on the health science site, Medrix 4, I guess it is. The study analyzed air pollution particles in Bergamo, Italy, from late February to early March, and the scientists there found the presence of a specific COVID-19 gene in the air pollution particles, including that it's the first preliminary evidence that SARS-CoV-2 RNA can be present on outdoor particulate matter. Well, for it to be in that kind of abundance in atmosphere, it had to be there. It had to be put there through aerosol spraying. I mean, it's not like a bunch of people were outside sneezing and it stayed in the air. That's just the only way it could happen, right? Researchers note that no assumptions can be made. Yes, they can. I think I can make a very, very good and sound assumption here about the presence of the virus in air pollution. Experienced a high volume of coronavirus cases. Dr. Amish Adalja, an infectious disease expert and senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, stresses that the findings should not be cause for alarm. Oh, no cause for alarm. And look at this Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security popping up again. Like, we can really trust this particular person, right? And what they have to say about it. Because they're working for the very powers that be that are behind this orchestration and are actually not only prior planning the whole orchestration, but are delivering the package to the people as well, right? I mean, you may as well send an anthrax contaminated letter to every person out there, because that's how they are doing it. They're delivering it to you, people. They're sending it to you. They're sending it to you by airmail. Airmail.
I like that one. Yes. They send, if a disease can go through the air, so can the rubbish, the bullshit. We have a university over here as well, and I just listen to the academics, you know, and obviously politicians have to make their own mind up as well, but certainly the so I can't stop laughing. I think the politicians overreact and that they listen to these academics too much sometimes, because apparently for our stats, the UK stats of England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales, there's going to be 500,000 deaths, that's it, if you didn't listen to this university. I've forgotten what the name is now. It's similar to John Hopkins. It might even be John Radcliffe, something like that. It's a UK university based in London, the think tanks and all that rubbish. And if you didn't do a lockdown, there'd be 500,000 deaths. And today's deaths at the moment, after 6 weeks of lockdown, is 27,000 deaths. I mean, so they'd argue that, you know, the advice was right. But thank God some of these scientists, they're actually with the government, advising them. They're actually, some of them are very good, saying, look, you know, we're just telling them this, but they're doing that instead. You know, they should be doing it this way. We're telling them the science. They're telling the public we rely on the science, and then they're doing their own thing, the politicians. Anyway, if you want to hear from a caller, Tim, we've got somebody from 416.
Well, that would be my area code, so it looks like...
You might know them.
I might know them, indeed.
Yeah. Well, would you like to join the call with Tim, 416?
Hello?
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 Yeah, hi, what's your name?
That's
George.
George Floyd.
Wow, my pleasure, George. I've always wanted to hear you, so carry on with Tim.
Oh, indeed. We were great dance partners on many, many media forums.
Hey, buddy. Nice to
have
you on.
One thing I'd like to throw in, I was looking at a British video, and it had the deaths from upper respiratory causes in England, or maybe the whole UK, for 5 years. And they were all the same for the last 5 years. Now, the last bit of it has a blue part going up for deaths by coronavirus, but it's the same total number of deaths. So all that's happening is somebody signing a different cause of death on the death certificate and telling you it's something else. And this fraud is going on very heartily in the United States and most likely to a great extent in the UK. And doctors are coming out in the United States saying that there's a financial incentive to sign it that way, because if you say COVID, you get $13,000. If you intubate, you get $39,000. And that's a quick way to either pay off your yacht or get a down payment on a Learjet. And the doctor who revealed this is a state senator in Minnesota, and he's been a doctor for 35 years, and he knows some of the negative implications of the medical mafia, really, and that they're not the brightest, most honest sorts in the world. They're charlatans, and he's not afraid to speak about it. And that's very important. I always had a saying that when the facts have to be fudged, the goose has to be cooked, and we're the goose. And this whole thing is done as a giant fraud. It was, like you said, I saw those same things in the Project for a New American Century in 2010. There's the Rockefeller Report saying how they're going to do this, and they were actually having words in there to do something nasty at the London Olympics too. And a very great blogger who was well known, and his name escapes me right now. I have to think about that. Maybe I could remember it. But, you know, he was most likely murdered for putting out videos on what's going to happen in London, that they were planning to do a terror attack there. And these things are all done all the time to bring us into chains and bondage, to control the human race. It's always problem, reaction, solution. The problem with us is most people fall for it all the time because they're so indoctrinated by mainstream media, especially the TV. If, you know, you told them to, you know, hang naked from a chandelier and go into high voltage, they'd probably do it because they heard it on the TV. And, you know, to have thinking, rational minds like Tim's to be able to come forward and present the truth and to be very well researched on any topic is, you know, really a blessing for anyone who comes under his auspices to hear his voice. He's so determined. He never gives up. It's just, you know, go for the throat, speak the truth, and hope that, you know, we do as much for humankind as can possibly be done to outdo these nefarious buggers. Because this is a terrible, terrible event. I look at it, the whole world's been captured by whatever force can do this. And I don't think their plans for us are going to be good at all. Basically, to get out of this new slavery or new prison, you're going to have to buy your way out by taking the needle, the chip, and selling your soul and your intellect and turning yourself into something you couldn't even speculate. And, you know, that's a horrible state of affairs. So everyone who wakes up is a soul or a life saved from this type of bondage. And, you know, I have to compliment Tim for, you know, just laying it on the line for as long as I've known him, which has been some time now, to get the message out without fear or favor. We used to do radio sometimes in Toronto, and we'd come out, there'd be guys waiting for us in the parking lot, you know, try to give us a thumping or something like that. We were back at it all the time. We didn't care. And, you know, you can't find a more heartfelt soul than that to be advising you. And, you know, he's determined, very, very well-read, and very well-spoken. What more can you ask for? You got to love the guy.
Yeah, I always say, George, fear is the word you were going to say, that I read you was going to say. You know, they're making everybody fear what's going to happen. That's why we cower down like sheep and do as we're told. You know, I've just made an analogy on fear. Fuck everybody and run. I mean, that's basically sometimes what you need to do. You know, you need to not listen to these people who are bullying us and, you know, run a mile because they really are, you know, trying to make you fearful. I mean, I must admit, Tim and George, I was absolutely, for the first 24 hours, you know, because it was just a coronavirus. It was in China. It was in here, there, and everywhere. It wasn't so much of a problem. And then 2 days before lockdown, they were suggesting lockdown, and my mouth went down. And for 48 hours, although I know what's going on with the world and how people lie, I really did absolutely believe this is real until I started asking Tim and reading about it. It is fearful. To a lot of these vulnerable people, but if you wake up and smell the coffee, I mean, could this virus, guys, be not just because they want to make some money through the Gates Foundation on the vaccine, or is it an attempt somehow to screw the World Bank up and, I don't know, get rid of debt or make the world into more debt? I don't know. I think it's to do with debt myself and money, but I don't really know.
Andy, I'm going to jump in there. What they're doing is they're moving everything to digital banking, and this was the way in which they could, you know, get everyone on board through a event that everyone would end up feeling they had to comply with. And so they've got all their ducks in a row through this event that they have manufactured. And so what's going to happen is that because of the debt that you're talking about that will be incurred from all of the lockdown protocols putting everyone out of business, the economies will of course crash, and the currencies will of course crash, and out of the ashes will emerge the Phoenix, which is a digital currency, a worldwide digital currency that will be seen as the savior, that will allow people to engage in business again, and it will all be digital. There will be a cashless society, and it's all been planned, because when I went to the grocery store about a month ago, I was told that they were going cashless, that all transactions would be done by a debit card or a credit card. And I said, well, why is that? And they said, well, you know, we don't want anyone contacting anything, so we're trying to eliminate the contact factor. And Well, obviously that's just a pretext to encourage people to go cashless. So this thing has been very well thought out, and it's at these world summits and forums that the global elite have come together. They've shared ideas. They've come up with a foolproof plan. And like George has said many times, this is Sun Tzu's The Art of War implemented to great advantage and never better. It's the best orchestration in history. I mean, it is. It really, truly is brilliantly conceived. You have to at least give the devil his due on this one. Anyway, I think probably George wants to say something on that point.
Well, what happened last year is Rick Wiles from True News in Florida went to the Singapore Financial Conference where they were talking exactly about what you're talking, the new digital cash, how it's going to be implemented. So all this stuff is all worked out in advance. So the trap is set, and they just, you know, do it like an army type thing. They you know, when you are in the military, you're ambushed. So what happens is they're going to fire shots and shoot, you know, mortars or throw grenades at you or something like that to scare you, to get you to run in the kill zone. And this is exactly what they're doing as well, is they set up some sort of ambush to scare you, to make you run into the kill zone. And that's going to be the needle and the new reality of what money is to be, what they want it to be, actually. But when you get to that sort of money, if I can't give you guys $5 without telling Big Brother about it, I don't have any freedom. Cash is freedom. And all this other stuff is not freedom. But guaranteed, though, you know, the elites at the top, when they launder all the money they steal, they don't have to worry about being checked out and to see which little paradise island the funds go that they've stolen or anything like that. That's for us mere peons. But the big thing they can use it for as a lever to control us by preventing us from accessing our funds so that we're starved into submission. So no matter what you know or what you think, you got to be on your knees prostrate, you know, arms up, flailing in the direction of the beast, saying, you know, I submit, I submit. And that's terrible. And, you know, while you were talking, Andrew, there was a good quote by Winston Churchill a long time ago, and it was, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on. And that was in his day with radio and things like that. But in the modern era of the internet, this lie gets around the world, spins around 5, 6, 7 times before the truth can get its pants on, and that's why it takes us a little while to catch up. I was fortunate, you know, someone I know right away sent me, you know, the word plandemic in one of his writings or speakings or something, and then I was starting to, yeah, get your head out of the dirt here. There is a reason for all this, and if you're patient and you look at each place where they say is an epicenter, sooner or later you're going to find the truth. One of the big ones is 5G. Northern Italy, they're saying, you know, we're piling the bodies up like there's no tomorrow. Well, that Northern Italy, I heard from a German virologist who was speaking online, that it is the work zone for Wuhan. They sold out a lot of the businesses there to Chinese investment. They brought in 100,000 workers under various free trade provisions to work there with direct flights going back and forth. It was the open door. Carriers and the same technology and no way out for the people there. And part of the reason I think we have these clusters in the nursing homes and other aged homes is everybody was getting their vaccines, guaranteed that they're going to line you up like ducks and inject you. Primarily in the past, it was the flu vaccine, but they had a new one come out last year. And as soon as I heard it on the radio here in Toronto, I was crapping my drawers. It was the pneumonia vaccine. Never heard of it before. Came out in April of last year. And in the fall, they were giving it to everybody with a 20% stronger dose for old people. And as soon as I heard that, I go, they're trying to kill us. First thought that came into my mind, and I'm going, I'll be damned I'll take any, well, I wouldn't take one anyway, but I'll be damned if I take that one especially. And I'll bet you that's why you have these clusters, and the staff would probably get it too, because, you know, I came up with a joke because I work with a Muslim guy too, and I just go, vaccine Akbar, vaccine Akbar. because that's what they're all brainwashed into thinking, the vaccine is God, and that you submit to it and you take it, and basically you're just desecrating your body's defenses. Your immune system will just be destroyed. You'll be wide open for anything that comes along, and the only thing that can stop it is going to be one of their other poisons, another vaccine. But if your immune system's healthy, come all comers. Knock the snot out of you and put you down on the floor.
Yeah, just a little comment, guys, on the cashless society. Obviously, we've been warmed up already, because yeah, they've been giving us debit cards, credit cards. But I predict, and I've not seen anywhere on the net, but not recently anyway, 20 years ago I think I did, the one day that you'll be able to use your finger or your eyes, use it as your bank card. Do you think, is that the way we're going there? And regarding coronavirus, Dr. Shiva Ayaduria, if that's the way to pronounce his name, he was the founder of the email, or at least he tried to do that. He's very skeptical on the coronavirus. And finally, that point about the cluster, I totally agree with you there, George. And that's probably answered my suspicion, because I couldn't work out. I know big cities, it's obvious big cities are going to have more deaths than small towns and villages, but I couldn't work out why the majority of the UK, is Birmingham and London's got the main deaths in the whole country. And in Scotland, obviously, where I live, it's just Glasgow and a little bit of Edinburgh. I just couldn't work out, you know, surely if you've got a virus, it should be everywhere. Having said that, it's the same in Italy and Spain. For some reason, it's in one region, but in the US, it's everywhere. So I'm still a little bit confused on that. But if they were genuine, by the way, on lockdown, they would say, look, if you've had, I don't know, let's say 10,000 deaths or less, you could lift the lockdown earlier. But they're not doing anything like that. In fact, May the 7th, we've already had it 6 weeks. That'll be the 7th week. And they're already saying on May the 7th, it's going to be at least another 3 weeks. So that'll be the end of May. And we've already had major industry, about 100,000, it may not sound a lot, but 100,000 travel companies laying off staff. You know,
Andy, I wanted to say that Susan Miller, who's one of the world's respected astrologers, and I know that some people have a dim view towards astrology, but it's not like the newspaper horoscope in the morning. It's not that kind of astrology. It's about high-end astrology done by someone who's got it in her family as a family tradition. Her mother was an astrologer, and probably her mother before her. And anyway, Susan Miller is very, very good, and she claims that this coronavirus it is a coronavirus variant, right? This COVID-19 or whatever you want to call it. There's so many names being bandied about for it. It will have a resurgence that she says will be around September, October, and then it will disappear. Now, that's what she's seeing from, you know, the star map point of view, right? Because these planetary bodies create a pattern in terms of historical patterning. You can see that we're a century on from the 1918-1919 so-called Spanish flu, which wasn't a Spanish flu at all. It actually started in China, as did the big pandemic in 1957, as did the Hong Kong flu, as did so many of the various pandemics. They started in China. And the reason for this is because you've got bird populations that produce avian flu, and it's a natural culling mechanism in nature. That's what it's there for. So that if a bird population becomes too big in one specific area, there is a flu that will go through the bird flock population and eliminate part of the flock so that the numbers are effectively culled. Now, in a place like the Galapagos Islands, which were created by volcanic eruption and are very much isolated as an archipelago in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, Darwin noticed that there were finches there that had various species, and they had no natural predator. So obviously, there would be a need for something like an avian flu to keep that population in check. But the problem was that because it was an isolated bird population that got there from some other landmass and then became isolated, it happened to be a healthy bird population that was a carrier of no virus, and so it had no natural culling mechanism in the bird population. So what happened is that they had to prevent the ecosystem from being overtaxed with too many of the same species competing for the same food supply by developing a mutant gene that would divide the finch species into various species that would have differences in terms of beak size. And so some would be adapted to eating large seeds and some would be adapted to eating small seeds. But in essence, that was a nature's control mechanism for making sure that the ecosystem wasn't harmed and that the food chain wasn't thrown into chaos by a species becoming too populated and basically putting too much stress on the limited food supply. So this is where the avian flu comes from. And the problem with domesticated birds and domesticated swine and so forth is that they're kept in cages where they're tightly grouped together. And on top of that, there's little genetic variation. They're too related to one another. And so if there is a disease, it tends to go through the population like wildfire. In addition, they're smaller and they're weaker and they're not as resistant to infection as the birds and the animals in the wild. So they end up losing a lot of their immune resistance by being penned up and cooped up in their domesticated state. And so when you have this happening, obviously it can transfer to the human population. And so with a densely populated country that doesn't observe proper hygiene practices in general, especially when it comes to husbandry practices related to farming and the raising of livestock and domesticated livestock and so forth, China is very vulnerable, and that's why so many of the outbreaks have happened in that country and then have been transferred by person-to-person contact to other locations around the world, as happened in 1918 and 1919, when exactly the same protocols were observed. Schools were shut down, factories were shut down, everything ground to a halt in an effort to try to prevent the spread of the pathogen.
Wow. Do you want to come back on that, George? And then maybe can we relate
well,
this
to this a little
bit? Well,
that sounds like they're doing to us, isn't it? Keeping us in a cage. So we don't get the fresh air and the sunshine, and our immune systems weaken, so we're more susceptible to, to getting the plague. But one of the other big factors back in 1918, too, is the militaries were putting up these super large antennas for communications. And these were wild cards that weaken our immune system, too, just like 5G. People don't seem to understand that these invisible waves for communication are very, very powerful. How I explain that to people a lot of times is, you ever touch a light bulb? It's pretty hot. and it's only 100 watts. So, you know, on the station that I broadcast out of in the States, they have a repeater for the next day to go out on global shortwave. It's 100,000 watts. How hot do you think that is up there? And when we get into this modern communications, they're moving to like gigahertz, 3.5 gigahertz, I believe, is the 5G. Can you imagine how hot that is? It's like being in a microwave oven, and you're going to be cooked. And that's not going to do too much good for your body. And it's very imperative that we start to realize that, you know, there are other factors at play, and that's one of the big ones. A lot of media poo-poos that, but it's very easy to find out. Italy had a big 5G. Spain, a lot of the epicenters for this were 5G. Wuhan was like the first big city to go absolutely ballistic on the stuff. So, you know, what does that tell you? Turn it off.
And indeed, London and Birmingham.
Yes.
Yeah, London and Birmingham, that's got the most deaths over here. Can I just have a quick shout out and I'll let you carry on? Mark Steele, UK, he's not the only one. But he's a microwave expert on 5G, and he comes on my show regular. Mark Steele, 5G, he does believe himself that it's linked to the coronavirus. I mean, he did tell me on the show how he come to that realization. But also he said there's something in the 5G. One of the elements is called corona. So there you go.
Oh, yes. Like, you can feel it when you use a lot of our, you know, cell phones and such like that. I can't remember the woman's name, but she spoke at the University of Melbourne in 2015. She's an American scientist and went through all the dangers of this cell phone radiation and showing you all the graphics about what's going on in your body and how they lied for a lot of the studies. By, you know, like, to test it on somebody's head, they went to an army base, found the guy with the biggest head of anybody, and then say, see, there you go. It didn't do too much to him, but this guy was, you know, like someone who should have been in a circus or something like that. Nobody's got a head like him, especially children, and that we're very vulnerable for this. And then a lot of women put these phones in their bras, and they got breast cancer. And for fellows that had it around the waist, their sperm counts dropped, and they were prone to various cancers around the bottom end too. So this is nothing to be taken lightly for, that these things put out a very dangerous amount of radiation, and we have to protect our bodies. Like Daily Mail did a poo-poo article about it, say, oh, no, we tested them. And then as I went through the article, I found it was at 1.5%. 1.5% is nothing. I can, if it was possible and I could turn the burner on my stove up to 1.5%, it would probably still be lower than body temperature, above room temperature, and I could hold my hand there all day long and nothing's going to happen. But if I turn it up to 100%, there's going to be a lot of smoke and flesh fill in the room. So that's why it's just so important that you don't surrender yourself to a lot of these so-called authorities, because they're lying and they're deceiving us in the worst ways possible. And to expose people to harm in that regard is just, you know, like you wouldn't invite people to your home and poison them. And, you know, why would you do something like this on a broad scale? If we were from a Middle East country and we did something like this with some kind of like homemade little thing that we could hold in our hands, they'd put us in jail for life, probably in Guantanamo. But if we start a corporation and we get a license and we do it and expose millions and millions and millions of people to something even far stronger, nothing happens. They're lauded. It's just unbelievable that you know, we're sucked into a system like this. But anyway, I got to cut and run because I got my lunch breaks over at work and I got to jump back into the action. But it's been a pleasure, gentlemen, and you know, hopefully, whatever we get out there saves a few lives or protects a few people from the harm that's planned for us. So you know, you make plans for yourself, for your family, to you know, have what you need just in case it really gets difficult out there. And it's just, to me anyway, because I have empathy, I feel so badly for so many people that have lost sources of income and don't have any redress, that somehow they've fallen through the cracks. Or like even here in Canada, you know, the great Trudeau may have passed some bills to give you money, but if something screws up, try to get through on the phone. You've got a better chance of, you know, probably winning the lottery. is just so sad, and most of them don't know why. That's even sadder. It's one thing if you got your butt kicked hard and you know why, but when it just comes out of the blue and you even believe the lies they're telling you, that makes it even worse, because then maybe you'd go find some other job off market.
George, we've got a good man in Andy because, you know, he's organized many demonstrations, and as an activist, he's shut down the M1 and the M2 and the M3, and he shut down the country on certain occasions. And I'd have to say that he's the reincarnation of Oliver Cromwell, and the English Revolution started again. And it's all down to Andy, so we need a bit of that activism over our way, I tell you.
Oh, indeed.
You enjoy the rest of your life, George.
I'm a little rusty on my history, but I remember watching a documentary about, you know, some people who took down London and almost got the king, and that's, you know, a long, 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 long time ago. But they had to, you know, it just, the tax collector came, and part of what they did is they had to check your woman. And they did that by putting their hand up their skirt to see if, you know, she was one way or another. And you'd have to pay exorbitant taxes. And then one day a few of them, you know, killed the tax collectors. They were lynched. And then there was just giant march on London, and it just didn't stop. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the king was smart. He knew he couldn't beat them. They were outnumbered. So he just said, okay, I'll negotiate with you. You know, come with me. We'll meet at this field or something like that. But what he did is he had men with bows and arrows or crossbows or something to, you know, to wait for them and take out the leaders, and then everything fell apart. But it's a crafty, difficult game, and it's a good thing we have some guys like you playing it for the better of all. So until the next time, we'll do it again. Bye.
Thanks, George.
Yeah, it's good to have him on. That was fun.
Yeah, first time ever. 2 seconds, Tim.
HorizonTalkRadio.wordpress.com. Now, it's your turn. You're listening to The Andy Peacher Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. GMT and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Do you like my new show promos?
Yeah, it sounds really good and very clear, and I'm liking the volume. I don't know, is my volume any better? Because
it's been better since somebody said it wasn't. It just came back.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds much clearer, everything, so that's good.
Maybe somebody was stuck in your telegraph pole, you know, putting 5G up, and now they've gone away.
Yeah, could be. Anyway. Have you heard about this Harvard professor that was linked to the Wuhan facility? His name is Charles Lieberman. Have you heard about this?
No, I've not heard about him, but I'm sure he's one of the good guys.
Well, he's not.
Right, okay. No,
yeah,
I've not heard of it.
He's been arrested because he's shared, you know, research related to bioweapon related program work to the Chinese, and so he's been linked to this whole coronavirus outbreak. So I'm suspicious and think that he's part of an operation. And so let me explain what I think on that note. It's standard MO, and it looks like a counterintelligence operation in which some American agency, most likely the CIA, is setting up the Chinese by way of a useful idiot in a sheep-dipping operation involving Harvard professor Charles Lieberman. Such operations were common in the War on Terror, where an unsuspecting dupe who had been targeted for expressing radical jihadist views would be recruited to take part in a counterintelligence terrorist plot involving a bombing operation. And also a bombing operation set up by some alphabet soup agency of the United States government, ranging from the DOD, FBI, CIA, ATF, or any of these various agencies. The unsuspecting patsy would be given training, instructions, a target, and an incendiary device for carrying out the plan, and would then be turned loose. On some occasions, such operations are carried out and the patsy takes the blame, like Timothy McVeigh, for example. In other instances, the patsy suspected is picked up before the operation is carried out and charged for taking part in the terrorist plot, for example, the Toronto 18, which I'm very sorry George wasn't here to contribute to the discussion on that topic, because he was directly involved in stopping the Toronto 18 operation. I can tell you that he got a report from one of his regular listeners that there were about 20 vans down by the harbor front near the CN Tower, and so he saw that as a red flag, and he got all dressed up in his military gear and his camouflage gear, and then he went down and he was watching the operation, and he came to the conclusion that they were basically offloading a cargo of incendiaries from the ships that were in dock. And then they were loading all of these onto the van, into the vans, and then they were planning on basically using all of this to blow up certain targets in downtown Toronto, including the CN Tower. Meanwhile, the Metropolitan Toronto Police, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on the good boys and the good gals at the Metropolitan Toronto Police, because we have some remarkably good people, but there's obviously corruption in a lot of organizations, as we all know, and there is a rogue unit apparently operating within the Toronto Police Force that was involved in this Toronto 18 operation, where the 18 refers to the 18 ewes that were being set up in a sheep dipping operation, and basically they were conducting drill exercises in the woods and setting off these various devices, and involved in all kinds of training, and it was all being coordinated, and they had no idea that they were being set up. And when the whole thing was blowing sky high, because George got on the Power Hour and a lot of radio shows down in the States and blew the whistle on this whole operation, they called it off because too many people had got prior warning about the operation, and it was going to be a mess for them to try and clean up all of the when you get prior warning like that, too many people know in advance, and basically it's just too difficult to silence all of those people. They're going to come forward and there's going to be a lot of whistleblowing and everything, so they just decided to cancel the operation. Meanwhile, since the Toronto 18 had already been nicely set up, they were all arrested and they were labeled terrorists, and under the laws that came in both Canada and the United States, you don't have any protections under the law if you're a suspected terrorist, because once receiving the label terrorist, under the pretext of security, you're not granted the normal rights that you would as a suspect, and so they don't read you your rights, you don't have any rights, you don't have the protections that would be afforded you by calling a lawyer. The court case is under complete blackout. No one gets to know what's happened during the proceedings. It's not published published in the newspaper. So effectively, it's a kangaroo court. You're found guilty, and that's the end of you. And that's exactly what happened to the Toronto 18. So that's what I'm talking about. And so in their case, the 18 Muslim youths were co-opted into participating in a plot aimed at bombing CSIS headquarters and the CN Tower. For those that don't know, CSIS is basically Canada's intelligence service, similar to the CIA in the United States. It's our tel service. So the ammonium nitrate fertilizer bomb material that the youths were provided with was supplied by the Metropolitan Toronto Police. So if this were an investigation by a narcotic squad and the drug ring was supplied by the very drug unit investigating them, there is every likelihood the traffickers would get off on a legal technicality called entrapment. But not so in the case of those set up in a terrorist plot. They go down because once labeled terrorists, they have no rights. That means they do not have the right to remain silent, and though they might be able to retain a lawyer, there is no guarantee that their rights will be protected. The right to remain silent, for example, is not there. And so in addition, there is often a media blackout, as was the case with the Toronto 18. And so all this was to justify a budget for the war on terror, a ruse aimed at achieving a reordering of the world that the elites like to refer to as the New World Order. So in Lieberman's case, his job seems to have Chinese with the means of developing and deploying a bioweapon. And quite by design, the man-made virus got out and wreaked havoc, granting the Vatican-controlled intelligence services several advantages. And by the Vatican, I'm referring to the military wing of the Vatican, which is the Jesuit Order of Catholic Church, the so-called Church of Rome. And also, I should mention that the CIA's secret name is the Knights of the Holy See, and they're also called Company because they're naming themselves by nickname after their controllers in Rome, who are the Society of Jesus or the Company of Jesus, known as the Jesuit Order, the military wing of the Vatican. So quite by design, the man-made virus got out and wreaked havoc, granting the Vatican-controlled intelligence services several advantages. They could now blame China, isolated politically, economically, and socially. They could then justify cutting off Chinese immigration, first because the Chinese themselves might be carriers of the deadly virus, and second, because the Chinese government has been implicated in unleashing a bioweapon upon the world. Hence, there's no justification for containment, since no one from China can now be trusted, because either they are suspected of being carriers of disease or spies. Either way, they will be stopped cold at the border and will not be issued a visa. In the meantime, Lieberman takes the fall for what is ostensibly a counterintelligence operation in which he has served the role of useful idiot, and having been set up, blame will now be pinned on him when it is actually a conspiracy involving many. And but by pinning the blame on one lone individual, the conspiracy is denied. Even as Trump claimed to have tested negative for the coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic raises the fear that huge swaths of the executive branch or even Congress and the Supreme Court could also be disabled, forcing the implementation of continuity of government plans that include evacuating Washington and devolving leadership to second-tier officials in remote and quarantined locations. So this is all very well planned, and I have to say, we better wake up and fast, because they planned this years and years ahead of time and in a row, and they know exactly what their next steps are. And if we're not alert, we're done. We're going to be run over.
It makes kind of sense, even in small, simple terms, that, you know, that basically why, you know, mess with our banking system? Why mess with the debt, the loan system? Why mess with jobs? Why mess with health and vaccines? Let's just do it all in the one jab, as it were. One vaccine, that's fear vaccine. You know, and that's what I call it. I call it the fear vaccine now, COVID-19. Just going on just only briefly to history, and then you can maybe give your slant of history, and then if you can wrap it up soon in 10 minutes. But just wanted to read out, just for the sake of reading out, history, pandemics, and at the end of the day, there doesn't seem to be that many. So for us to have one this, I don't know if we've had one this century or two or three, but they've not, you know, I would have known in the last 55 years whether it was that bad. And I don't think we've ever had one that really created as much fear and fuss as this one. So like in 430 BC in Athens, this is the earliest recorded pandemic. It happened during the Peloponnesian War. After it passed through Libya, Ethiopia, and Egypt, it crossed the Athenian walls as the Spartans laid siege. As much as two-thirds of that population died. Obviously, they had the usual symptoms, sore throat, red skin, lesions, and blah, blah, blah. Next one was 165 AD. Antonine Plague, it was called. The Antonine Plague was possibly an early appearance of smallpox that began with the Huns. The Huns then infected the Germans. Now, I then realised, you know, Germans, to me, Germans are people from Germany, but maybe they're the ones, you know, who was called the Germans because of germ in the man, German. Do you get it? I'm doing the Timothy Spearman here. who passed it on to the Romans and then returned troops. They spread it to the Empire of Rome. One of the emperors, Marcus Aurelius, was one of the victims. Next, we've got 250 AD, the Cyprian Plague, the Christian Bishop of Carthage, the Cyprian Plague. And I mean, it's the same disease again. It passed through Africa, Rome, but with different names in a way. Justinian Plague, first appearing in Egypt. There was a lot of Egypt, Rome, Cyprus, and Greece, and Turkey. 11th century leprosy, though it had been around for ages, leprosy grew into a pandemic in Europe in the Middle Ages, resulting in the building of numerous leprosy-focused hospitals. Well, I kind of know a little bit about that. Then went 1350, the Black Death. Then the Columbian Exchange, 1492. The Great Plague of London, of course, we had that. I mean, especially the Great Plague of London, because it's been on our telly, and, you know, that was 1665. I get what a pandemic is because of that, but I don't, you know, they didn't have the fuss that we're having now, or the paranoia, the fear. And then, of course, after that, we got the bubonic plague, 1817, we had the first cholera pandemic, the third plague pandemic in 1855, and, I mean, it goes on and goes on, then to 1889, the Russian flu, that was mainly in Russia, Poland, and that part of Europe, but it's also North America and Africa. And then the so-called Spanish flu that you told us it probably wasn't that name. Then we had the Asian flu, HIV and AIDS. Well, I know personally because my brother, when I was young, he didn't have the thing, but he was gay, and he met somebody who told me, you know, he got AIDS through a blood thing. So, I mean, all these fucking... I mean, it's sorry for the... I mean, SARS, you know, that didn't even... 2003 SARS. Severe acute respiratory syndrome. Why isn't COVID-19 called SARS-2 or something? Because...
It has been, actually. It's been it's been dubbed that recently. The SARS connection is now being established, and so it actually is being called SARS-2 by some people. So
Yeah, and then the COVID-19 is after that. But the swine flu, that was one of the biggest. Yeah, SARS wasn't really, they didn't really portray that to be very serious at the time. But they did the HN1, whatever it was called, the swine flu. Yeah, they made us think that we're really going to have problems. But really, so when it came to SARS, it wasn't that much of a problem. Weird, isn't it?
I wanted to say something about the bubonic plague, the Black Death. There was a lot of panic, and there was a lot of paranoia, and there was a lot of, if they didn't have social distancing, they had something very similar to it, because they would board people up in their house that were suspected of being infected, and they would just all die inside, and they would be boarded up inside their homes by the authorities, and they would not be allowed out, and they would all end up dying inside. And that was their way of enforcing social distancing. They didn't have radios, they didn't have the internet back then, so they just boarded you up inside your own house to ensure that you stayed there and didn't come out. So that was probably one of the worst nightmares in world history. I mean, what's worse would be, I guess, being buried alive, but I mean, that's pretty, brutal. I have to say, though, that the people that survived the bubonic plague or the Black Death, very often it was because they were plumbers, or they worked at the mint, or they had contact with copper through their trade, and so the ions that are given off by heavy metal like copper actually kill microorganisms. And so if you were to clutch a handful of pennies, basically it would kill all the germs on your hand. And so here in Canada, they took copper pennies out of circulation about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. So was that timed because they knew the science and they knew the effects of copper and what that would mean for people that actually handled it commonly? The change in their pockets, the fact that they'd be handling their change and that would eliminate the COVID-19 from their hands if they were handling the pennies in their pocket. That's definitely a possibility. They knew what was coming, so they made sure that that was just one more thing that they considered. I mean, it's kind of interesting that they have a lot of copper fixtures in government buildings in China, but nowhere else. So if you're handling the handrails and you're around this copper and you're handling the door handles and so on made of copper, then it's going to offer you a lot of protection from something like this. But as for the unwashed masses, pardon the pun, there you go. You don't get the protection. It's the copper is just not installed as a fixture in the buildings that you happen to live in or work in. So something to consider. And so I got my housemate making me a copper bracelet, and hopefully one for my daughter, if he can get around to it.
I was just, I just had this nursery rhyme come into my head. I don't know where it came from. Well, obviously I remembered it. It's to do with pandemics and viruses. That nursery rhyme, I don't know how it goes now, but basically a pocket full of posies, a tissue, we all fall down and we're dead, didn't we? It's something to do with virus, surely.
Yeah, you're right. That nursery rhyme does date back to the days of the plague, and it's ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy, hush, we all fall down. Yeah, so the ring around the rosy is the type of coronavirus type of rash that you would see breaking out on the skin of the infected person, and the pocket full of posies are the, I guess, the funeral flowers for the funeral offerings that would be made after the deceased left this world. But that's a good one. That's a very good one to bring up at this time, actually. Yeah.
Do you mind if we close the show? It's been brilliant. I wanted to do just an hour or so, because people take it in a much easier if it's a good debate on one topic.
Yeah, sure. We have covered a lot of ground, indeed. And I'd love to be back on the saddle with you riding high. It's great. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, we can do it as regular as you want or as little as you need. Yeah, whichever we can do. No pressure.
Yeah, well, things are a bit lighter because I don't have a lot of the travel time and the exertion involved in travel, getting back and forth from school. I think probably every Saturday would be a safe bet for the next little while.
All right, yeah, I'll just end the show and I'll say goodbye to you in a minute. Thanks for listening then. Go to Tim's website, shakesthespear.com, and in fact, what's that other website you like people to go to, the educational one?
Yeah, academia.edu. I've got a lot of my articles posted there. I should also mention that I've got a book coming out, Shakespeare's Codex, All the World Staged and We Are Merely Played, at Turning the Tide Publishing. So I'd say the release date would be about a month from now. That'd be my guess. So please take a look when you can. There's some books posted on that Turning the Tide Publishing site that you'd be very interested in. One about the true cause behind the American Civil War, or the United States Civil War of the 1860 period. It's not what you think. It's not about slavery. That was just a cover story. It's actually all about the money. And so check it out, folks.
All right, yeah, I'll just end the show there.